It's really interesting because I've been doing this since she was three, right? And she's nine now, and she tells people the story, and she takes pride in it. Like, it's, she takes ownership in it as well. She talks to her friends, she talks to her teachers. She does try to tell me, oh, mama, can I take some chocolate in for my friends? And then she'll eat it herself. So I think it's really interesting for a little girl, especially, to see another female, you know what I mean, building something from nothing and for a reason. And it's for her, right?
I think there's a large subset of customers that will seize the value of choosing you over someone else who doesn't care about them.
During a recession, you would think that people would start to spend, like, to buy cheaper food, right? Because they can't afford to buy the more expensive food. But the reality is actually that when recession hits, people start thinking about their health more because they don't want to get sick. They can't afford to be out of work. And so they actually start to eat healthier.
Some of these other bigger companies might start mixing in other ingredients and, you know, make it taste like chocolate. I don't think that's within your roadmap at all. You don't seem like the type of person that will compromise.
For me, it's all about the ingredients. I like clean. I like straightforward. If I'm adding something in or changing something, it's for a reason. If I would never consider giving it to my kid, then I'm not going to tell you to give it to yours.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Duck Pond Podcast, where we find out how brands got their wings and took off. Today, we got Teresa Black, founder of Bon Apple Sweet, a plant-based chocolate brand born from a promise she made to her daughter to never deploy again and build a business from scratch without sacrificing flavor or integrity. We'll talk about healing through entrepreneurship, crafting desserts without cane sugar, winning retail without a broker, and exactly how you turn pain into purpose. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And you're currently based in Germany, right? What made you make the move?
A lot of things made me make the move. But the main thing was my husband, he got a job out here. And so we left.
How hard was the decision to just uproot everything and move into Europe?
I mean, it's very difficult. And you have to imagine, like, I have a factory in Maryland. The factory was literally across the street from my house, 4-minute drive, you know, and I mean, I built everything there. I can travel to and from the different meetings I have to go to all right there. And so getting up and just leaving it's a lot. But ultimately, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Stay with your family.
Right. And these are sacrifices you have to make. And that seems like a huge sacrifice, but, you know, you guys are still kicking ass. So,
I mean, yeah, there's also opportunity to expand in Europe, right? If I'm here, it'll be much easier to do than if I was in the United States when we already have everything moving, right?
Right. And that's such an advantage over your competitors. How's the chocolate space over in Germany?
So they don't really have any healthy chocolates here, but consumers are looking for that. And so at first I was thinking, because our chocolate is still on the higher end, as far as expensive is concerned. And in Europe, so while Europe has the most, they're the biggest chocolate consumers, the most money on chocolate is spent in the US, even though they're eating less chocolate. So the US is more likely to spend money on a higher end chocolate bar. But when I got here, the chocolate is actually super expensive. And so I don't think it would be a problem. My chocolate's actually cheaper than most of the chocolate I've seen here. And so I think we could actually do a really good job. But I think the biggest thing we had to overcome here is that Europe is known for its chocolates. The US is not. And so they also have higher standards. And while my chocolate matches those higher standards, in the mind of a European, American chocolate bar isn't going to do that.
The brand association with American-made chocolate just isn't up there with European-made chocolate, the artisan chocolates that you hear, right? So I'm very curious to hear, what do you think make Bon Apple Sweet stand out against other vegan chocolate brands, sugar-free bars, or healthier ice cream substitutes?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing in my personal opinion is that I don't know how many healthy foods you've eaten. They don't taste very good. And when I tell people, like, honestly, I don't lead with that line. I don't tell people that my chocolate is better for you because then they don't even want to try it. And so the difference between my chocolate and everyone else's healthy chocolate is that mine actually tastes good. I created mine for a child. I didn't create it for an adult to eat, right? I didn't just make it because it was good for someone. I didn't just throw ingredients together and say, hey, this is healthy. Go ahead and eat it. I said, hey, daughter, who's only three, are you going to eat this? You know? And so I had to actually try and make it taste good. And so that is what makes ours different, is that ours actually is something that a child will eat and enjoy, as opposed to the other healthier chocolates, which no kid is ever going to touch.
Absolutely. No kid has said, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have the healthiest chocolate bar.
Exactly. No one's doing that. They're saying, I want the best one, that tastes the best. And so the fact that it has the taste for a child, but it's made for an adult, you know, that is what separates us, because you can still be healthy and enjoy what you're eating. You don't have to sacrifice one thing for the other.
It's a rare combo, usually.
Yeah, exactly.
You launched this brand while navigating deployment and following your heart with wanting to be with your daughter more. What do you think was the toughest part of starting this brand in the early days? And how did that shape how you run the business today?
Yeah, honestly, so while I was on deployment, I was just thinking of ideas. I literally did like a mini Shark Tank at dinner every night where I was pitching different ideas. It's because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do food, but I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. And so honestly, I read a lot of entrepreneur books. I listened to a lot of audiobooks. I didn't watch TV while I was on deployment, unless I was working out. That was my exception. So I could watch only when I was working out. But yeah, I spent all my time just planning. And when I got back home, I think the biggest, because I actually didn't start off as a chocolate company. I started off as a gelato company. And so I made Date Sweet and gelato at first. And I didn't know how to make gelato. I also didn't know how to make chocolate. So the first thing I got back was experiment, because I couldn't test flavors while I was on deployment. And so I got back home. I got the equipment. I started testing flavors. And I have the number one test taster is a little toddler, right? So a 3-year-old, like, you just give them everything, like, hey, what's this taste like? If they eat it, it's a winner, you know? And so I think that was the first thing I did when I got back. And then I just started at farmers markets. Like, I hit the ground running. I looked into, or at least I tried to figure out how to get into stores, and I just didn't know. And I could easily get into a farmers market. And so that's what I did first. And then just everything else like fell into suit, I guess.
And I love making it for a daughter, because kids are brutally honest. You know, exactly. They're not going to sugarcoat anything. If they don't like it, you'll tell that they don't like it.
Yep.
What are some myths or misconceptions that people often come to you with in regards to your ingredients? And how do you help people understand it better?
I think the biggest, are you talking about my customers, or are you talking about other entrepreneurs?
Your customers.
You know, honestly, I don't get a lot. The only emails I usually get are, thank you so much for making something that's clean and tastes good. I'm obsessed with your chocolate. I can't stop eating it. Did you put jugs in me? So like, it's like the questions that I get are really, 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 really funny. Every once in a while, before someone buys the chocolate, they'll send me an email and just like, hey, are there any other ingredients besides what's listed on your ingredients list? And I'm just like, no, that's it. There's no hidden stuff on the other side. And some people ask me where I source my ingredients from. But yeah, I mean, those are pretty much the only questions I really get.
How are you navigating the rise in cocoa prices? I heard from my friends in the chocolate industry that's been brutal the last few years.
Yeah. So it's been horrible. To be honest with you, I had to figure out how to cut prices. Because obviously the thing that everyone else is doing, right? Hershey, Lindt, all the big guys, they're actually raising their prices, but my price is already high. And so I didn't want to go any higher. And so I had to figure out how to cut prices. And so basically you can buy in larger quantities, right? That's the first step. And so I started doing that with my packaging, is buying in larger quantities so I can get my pricing down and my ingredients. And then the next step is honestly to, I changed my packaging. So right now I'm in the process of switching over to a different type of packaging in order to bring my price down, because right now my chocolate comes in a box. And while that box looks beautiful, it is very expensive and it just gets thrown in the trash. And so I'm trying to switch to my packaging that's going to save me some money so I can keep my price the same without having to go up.
So you're exploring like an aluminum foil wrap, kind of like traditional candy bars, right?
A flow wrap. Yeah, we're going to switch over to a flow wrap. But right now I'm just doing the test. So I want to make sure that it still looks beautiful, because at the end of the day, our brand is known for being such beautiful packaging. And so I'm not going to just switch because it's going to save the money. If at the end of the day, we have to increase our pricing a little bit, then that's going to be what it has to be. But I want to try everything I can first in order to not do that.
100%. Your daughter is your number one taste tester. Was there any flavors that she rejected that you liked, or one that she absolutely insisted must go on?
Honestly, her favorite number one was actually Deep Dark. And that is our number one seller. So I guess her taste buds were right on. And then her number two favorite is Better Than Milk Chocolate. And when I came out with, the chocolate covered raisins, they just launched in Whole Foods, this summer. And, I always loved Raisinets as a kid. That was literally my favorite candy, which is weird to hear a little kid say, because it's kind of like an older woman Yandy. But when I started making chocolate, whenever I messed up, because dates are very volatile, and so they destroy chocolate and they break equipment and all other things. So whenever like one little tiny thing can make the whole batch not be able to work. And so it's still good chocolate. It's just that the batch won't work. And so I don't want to throw things away. And so I would always just pour raisins onto a tray and then cover it with chocolate. Make like a raisin bark kind of. And my mom, oh my goodness, if she came to my house at that time when I had that, it would be gone. And when I say a tray, it's a huge tray. She would eat the whole thing within a day. And it was just like, maybe I should make these into chocolate covered raisins. And so my daughter, because my mom loved them so much, my daughter was just like, let me try this out. You know, because it's not also, like I said, it's not something a kid would normally eat. And she was just started eating them. And now that's one of her favorite things, too. So I would say the only thing that she doesn't particularly like is golden chocolate, because it's very sweet. And that's the only downside, is that she's like, mommy, that's too sweet. And for me, honestly, it's too sweet for me, too. But it's perfect sweetness for other people. So it really just like,
it's very interesting. Most kids are like, let's maximize a sweet meter and go higher up. But your daughter obviously takes after you, and she seemed to have a more mature palate than most kids her age. That's brilliant. It's funny.
So I would make her baby food, like all of her baby food, I made myself. And so I was making her things like that had pesto and like, you know what I mean? All the different types of seasoning.
Did you make bone marrow for her too? Are you one of those moms?
I didn't make bone marrow. No. She won't eat a regular, like everyone loves grilled cheese, right? With cheddar, perfect melt. Like everybody loves that. She will not touch it. She won't eat a traditional grilled cheese. The only grilled cheese she eats is it has to have provolone and it has to have pesto. And beyond, well, she's allergic to regular bread. So the bread thing is not her fault. It's just an allergy. So she has to have like a sourdough bread. And so she sounds like just so bougie, right?
She's bougie. I've never seen a toddler eat that.
Yeah. It's basically because of her allergy, right? So at least the bread part, the pesto and the provolone, that's all. I don't know. That's just, I don't know. That's the only one she'll eat.
And what stores are you guys in now?
We're in Whole Foods, we're in Mom's Organic, we're in, I don't know, we're, so this is the thing, is that I got into the Whole Foods, the Walmarts, the Mom's Organics, the natural, you know what I mean, that Whole Foods, it's not the regular, it's not the traditional Whole Foods, but it's another type of Whole Foods, it's in Pennsylvania area. I got into all these, the different main stores, but now all the little, like smaller stores that we're in, they buy out of the distributor. So I don't even know all of the stores that we're in right now, because they don't give you that information, you know?
Well, that's amazing that you're so far ahead now. You don't even know where your products are in. How'd you get into the grocery stores, and were you a direct to consumer first online and then you got into retail, or did you go straight into retail?
No. So we started off at farmers markets. And so, as I said, we were making gelato at the beginning. I actually watched a YouTube video and learned how to make chocolate. And I was making chocolate for the gelato, because there's no chocolate that has dates in it, and I needed it for my gelato. And so honestly, everything that you could put on ice cream, I created using dates, so that I could put it onto the gelato. And so the chocolate was just one of those things. And so one day I was just like, COVID happened and I had to switch all to an e-commerce model, and that doesn't work for ice cream. It's just too expensive. And I was just like, I wonder if people will buy the chocolate bars. And so I did a pitch competition and got into like a local grocery store, and I asked, hey, can you take the chocolate instead of the gelato? And she said, sure. She put it on the shelf and it was outselling all the other chocolate bars on the shelf. And so I was just like, and the shipping is significantly cheaper. And so I was just like, you know what? Let me switch over to this. So I switched over to that. I was selling it at the farmer's market as well. And then right after I switched to chocolate, I actually pitched Walmart. In their open call, they have a Walmart open call every year, and we got picked up by Walmart 1 month after I switched to chocolate. And so it was just a good timing, I guess.
You know, when one door closes, many more opens, right? And I think that's a clear example of how you persevere through the challenges. A lot of people would just throw in the towel and say, hey, my gelato business is not going to work out. You know, let me just...
I mean, honestly, the gelato is actually doing really well. I mean, people love it. I honestly only just recently, and now mind you, I haven't sold gelato since 2021. I only recently stopped getting emails about the gelato, asking when it was going to come back. And so it was like the gelato, I mean, it was well liked. It was just that trying to ship it, I guess it's more of the, I knew where I wanted the company to go and gelato wasn't going to get us there. It wasn't that gelato wasn't a good product. It was just that it wasn't going to get me where I needed to go. So
it wasn't as scalable as chocolate, right?
Exactly.
And when you're thinking about your products over the next 3 years, how do you expect yourself to expand your own catalog of products?
Well, that's something that I have to fight with myself every day on, because like I told you, I have a lot of different products because I had to make it all before. And so when you think about the different categories, the different areas in the grocery, what has not been expanded into, like what has not like had anything new, what has not been shaken up for a long time. And there's a lot of areas and there's a lot of opportunity for us, like chocolate covered popcorn, right? And just putting chocolate on popcorn and like chocolate milk, right? It's a lot of different areas that we have the opportunity to go into. And I haven't decided. I recently created a new chocolate bar. Actually, right before I got on the call with you, I had a test. I had my factory test. They had tested 5 different new chocolate bars. And I guess technically it's one chocolate bar, but with new additions, like with new types of toppings. And they did a variety of toppings. And I just said, all right, guys, rate these 1 through 5. And they, like 3 out of the 4 people that I told to rate, they all chose the same one as number one. And then the rest of them, like the order was different. Like it was varied, but the number one was the same for everybody. And so that's going to be our new product that we're going to have come out. Isabella can't have that one though, cause it has coffee in it. Which is the only reason she didn't try it. But yeah, so
your factory must love you. They get to try amazing chocolate alongside with you before anyone else. That's incredible. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that they get to also help come up with different ideas. Like if they have an idea where I test sell them, go ahead and try it, see what you think. And if everybody else agrees with it, maybe we'll launch it, you know? Sometimes they try it and it's not good, so we don't even talk about it again. But like they have that creativity that they're allowed to test out.
And I want to ask, how did you get your first suppliers? You know, a lot of listeners listening to this podcast might be first time founders or even people in similar position as you. They're in a career, they want to transition into building on their own company. But you know, you can't just go out and Google the best chocolate supplier and actually find the best supplier. How did you find your guy?
Honestly, so remember when I told you I learned how to make chocolate using YouTube? The person in the YouTube video that was making the chocolate, they use organic chocolate and they do from bean to bar. And so I was just like, all right, well, this is the chocolate supplier that they're using, so that's who I'll use. So I contacted the chocolate supplier and they said, you're too small. Here's our distributor. And so I contacted their distributor and they said, you're too small. Here's our other distributor. And that got me down to where I started. And yeah, I've just grown from there. And I've grown. I haven't been able to get the original supplier that I try to go after. And that's only because of the right now, the supply and demand. So essentially, no chocolate supplier is bringing on new customers right now. And so if you weren't already buying from them, they're not going to bring you on. And that's the only thing that has stopped me from using that next supplier up, because as soon as I can get to them, I can get a lower price. So I have to wait until this whole debacle is over. So
what's the cost of this whole situation and when do you think it'll be resolved?
So there was a virus that went through the cacao trees in Africa. I don't remember which country, but the only way to get rid of the virus was to destroy the trees. And it takes 5 years for a cacao tree to be able to produce fruit. And so it's going to take a full 5 years from the date that it started. So I think we have 2 years left into that 5 year period. So
that's terrible.
Well, the upside for me is that they're not bringing on new customers, right? And so it's going to be difficult for people to cut in. Different people to cut in. But the downside is obviously that the pricing is continuously rising. And at the end of it, it might only be the big guys who can afford to even buy the cacao. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, who knows?
A lot of other guys are kind of cutting corners, right? Like you're selling a product that has such a high bar quality where you can't cut corners. But some of these other bigger companies might start mixing in other ingredients. to get the same fill rate and you know, make it taste like chocolate. I don't think that's within your roadmap at all. You don't seem like the type of person that will compromise.
No, for me, it's all about the ingredients. Honestly, I like clean. I like straightforward. I don't like, if I'm adding something in or changing something, it's for a reason that is for a reason. It's not just, I need to save money. Because for me, the cutting of the money has to come from things that can be cut and won't change the quality of the product. And as soon as you start to water down the chocolate, which is what I call it, is watering down the chocolate, because technically you can't put water into chocolate. The second you start to water down the chocolate, it changes the quality of it. And if I'm not giving it to my kid, if I would never consider giving it to my kid, then I'm not going to tell you to give it to yours or give it to you. I mean, because at the end of the day, one of the biggest problems that we have in America is that our food is not good for us. And it's just like, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? Like the traditional person can't just say, okay, well, I'm going to go and buy, you know what I mean? You have to buy what's at the store. And if you want to do better for yourself, you don't want to have to sacrifice your flavor. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with our food industry is that in order to make something that's healthy, you have to spend more money. And only the smaller companies are doing it. And so if the smaller companies are doing it, then you don't have the mass, the scale. So you have to have it. You have to charge a higher price. And then you can't beat these guys that are doing trash, that are making trash products. And so it's just like a never ending cycle of like, how do you work within a system that is set up to make you fail? And then say the tariffs, for example, the bigger companies, they've already gone on national television saying a lot of them can eat the cost of the tariffs, right? They can just take them and they're going to lose this many millions of dollars, right? But it's okay because they're a huge company. Well, there's no small all-time entrepreneur that can say that. You can't say I'm going to lose millions of dollars and we'll eat it and not have to pass it on to the customer. It's not possible. And so it's just like, well, what's going to happen to us then? And it's just, yeah, it's complicated. And there's a lot of things happening and a lot of moving parts. But at the end of the day, the small companies that want to make sure that people have better for you food, it's almost impossible to compete with these giants.
100%. But I think there's a large subset of customers that prioritize quality and who sees the value of choosing you over someone else who doesn't care about them. And
yeah, I mean, honestly, the interesting factor is that during a recession, you would think that people would start to spend, like to buy cheaper food, right? Because they can't afford to buy the more expensive food. But the reality is actually that when recession hits, people start thinking about their health more because they don't want to get sick. They can't afford to be out of work. And so they actually start to eat healthier. And so they'll actually spend more money on better quality food so that they can maintain their health and not have to worry about getting sick. And so it's actually pretty interesting.
I think they call it the lipstick theory. So I'm in beauty. I used to do cosmetics. And the idea is that during a recession, people want to look better. They want to feel better about themselves because everything else around them already feels so bad. And so they're willing to pay a little bit more for premium goods and premium products. And I think the same will apply for food. I absolutely agree with you. So between being a veteran, being a lawyer, a mom, an entrepreneur, so many titles, how do you balance all of that? And what helps you reset or recenter yourself when you get super busy?
How do you balance? I think honestly that it's a constant, constant juggling game because there is not really, when you think you're balanced, other people don't think that you're balanced, you know? So the people in your life don't necessarily think that you're balanced. And so your business side of things, they always want you to go, 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 get this done. I need this by this deadline. And if you, like, you know what I mean? They expect everything, right? They expect 100% of things to be done on this time, this time, this time, this time. And then your family at the same time, like my daughter, we have Mommy Bella Day. So that's always a Sunday. We spend like Sunday is Isabella's day and we do what she wants to do and we do family things. And my husband also wants his day. You know what I mean? Everybody wants your time. And I can take my schedule and say, okay, I will only work on these days at these specific hours. And then on the other hours, we can do this, that, and the other thing. But if on those hours, we don't have anything planned and I fill it, right? Because I have a lot of stuff I need to get done, then it's a problem, you know? And so it's just, everybody wants more time. And no matter how much time you carve out, it doesn't seem to be enough. And so in my mind, I'm balancing, but in their minds, I'm not. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is. The way I've done it is that I did exactly that. I have a calendar and I say, these are the hours during which I work. When Isabella gets home from school, that time, a little bit of that time is hers specifically. Then we do dinner together, right? We sit down and eat dinner together. And then after that, I have to go back to work. I put you to bed and we go and we take a shower, put you to bed and we go back to work. And then after a certain time, I have to close the computer and then I'll sit down and watch a show with my husband, you know? Or we'll sit down and talk for like at least 30 minutes at the end of the day. But it's really just about, I mean, and then Sunday, like I said, Sunday is Isabella's day. Saturday is the family day. So that's when all of us are together. And not just me and Bella. And so that's just how I've had to schedule it. And every once in a while I have to like, so I have drill every other weekend or once a week, one weekend a month. And so that means I have to be doing Navy stuff. And that means that weekend time that's supposed to be my family time, it's gone. Right. And so everybody just has to give at the end of the day. That's what it really is that some things have to give on some days. I got deployed when my daughter was just right before she turned two. I left a week before her second birthday. And while I was on deployment, I literally cried every day because at that time I was a single mom and I had to let my daughter live with my cousin. And she thought that I had just moved to a new house and left her. And so that was heartbreaking for me and for her. And I knew I could never deploy away from her again. And so I started the company as a promise to her that I wouldn't. And so the idea is that I could build it up to the point where I can quit the military and then just be home with her.
That's incredible. And just the way that you talk about doing product development with your daughter, her being your number one taste tester, and you know, what you want to create for her that she will probably not realize now, but she'll realize when she grows up, is just really heart touching.
Thank you. It's really interesting because I've been doing this since she was three, right? And she's nine now, and she is she kind of does understand. She tells people the story, and she takes pride in it. Like she takes ownership in it as well. And so she talks about it. She talks to her friends. She talks to her teachers. She does try to tell me, "Oh, Mama, can I take some chocolate in for my friends?" And then she'll eat it herself. But like, she understands that I'm doing this for her. And I think that's a lot. That's why she gives me a lot of leeway when it comes to like, okay, well, I have to work late today. And she's just like, okay, Mama, like, you know what I mean? She understands. And she also has many ideas of her own about how she wants to start her own business when she gets older. And so I think it's really interesting for a little girl, especially to see another female, you know what I mean? Building something from nothing. And for a reason, and it's for her, right? And so she has that with her for her whole life, is that my mom did this for me. And she's known, that's all she's known, right? Her whole childhood.
And I'm really sure that you're a huge inspiration to her. You know, a lot of people look up to their parents and what they've done for them as a kid. And your story is you built something so magnificent for the greatest reason, which is spend more time with her. And I'm sure that, you know, she's seen that from you, that sacrifice that you made, you leaving behind your career to do this and even working the weekends and working after you put her to bed. She's got to see that. And, you know, she's got to appreciate it so much. I'm sure of that.
I hope so. I hope so, honestly. And I hope that the amount of time I've been able to spend, because I do take time, like I pick her up from school, right? I spend time with her after school is over, things I wouldn't be able to do if I was working somewhere else, you know? And I hope that at the end of the day that I did the right thing. But honestly, as a parent, you never really know.
Well, I'm sure she'll tell you eventually. A lot of kids, yeah. I mean, I don't tell my parents about, you know, my feelings and whatnot, but I'm sure there's an age where I'm like, yeah, I need to call them and just tell them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Teresa, this has been a fantastic conversation. I love having this talk and hearing your side of the story. I will be putting links to your site. I'm sure you have a store finder on your site that people can go find your chocolate. I'm going to Whole Foods this afternoon for some shopping too, so I'll pick something up.
Just a note on the scene. Right now, it's still hot outside, and it's almost October. And so we have a shipping charge that's because of the ice packs and stuff like that. But as soon as the heat is gone, the shipping charge is going to go away. But for better. Yeah.
You guys hear here first. Get it in store or order online. For now, there's a little charge, but it's for good reasons. I know how bad things get in the summer. Well, Teresa, this has been an incredible conversation. You've obviously have done so many impressive accomplishments on this brand, and I love how this was built around your daughter. You know, it's a great story that I think people can see through just your packaging, your product, the way that you present the product. And thank you so much. Thank you for coming for a show.
Thank you.